Lee so much for just, this is, it's an honor to, they would share the pulpit, they would share that place with me. I feel very honored. And Pastor John, I pray I live up to all that you said. I do. God is so good, isn't he? Amen. He is so good. And he's so good like all the time. Amen. Amen. So I am just excited to just share what I feel like God has put on my heart today. And even with that song that we just sung, freedom from sin. Freedom from darkness. But somehow, we still get stuck in the middle, right? Anybody got angry last week? No. I confess. No. Tim and I had an exchange. In high octave level exchange of words. But, you know, our flesh is real, right? And but Jesus has given us resurrection power on the inside. Anybody have a problem with worry this past week? Yeah. So what I'd like to share with you about this time is a little bit of what we shared the last time I ministered on spiritual formation. And today, if I would title this message, it would be How We Change. How We Change. God's goal for us, all his children, is to become like Jesus, isn't it? So our goal as Christians is to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do the things that Jesus did. Amen. Amen. And our purpose here as a local body, Family Worship Center, is to reach people with that life-giving message of Jesus. Amen. That they might become fully devoted followers of Jesus. And so that's a work in progress for all of us, isn't it? Fully devoted followers. And you know, people want to change, right? People do want to change. You see out there, there's a slew of self-help books, right? And in an age where theologians will tell us that we're like in a post-Christian culture, meaning that decades have gone by where cultural institutions have not regarded the Bible or Christianity. Would you agree? So we have generations and young families that have been completely unchurched, completely unaware of what the Bible teaches. And I would even go to say that Christianity sometimes is a negative word out there. Would you agree? Mm-hmm. And in fact, though, let me share with you this. The word Christian is actually only used 3 times in the Bible, in the entire Bible, 3 times. And some of it had a negative connotation. The first time they were called Christians were at Antioch because they were so radical. But the word disciple in the Bible is 281 times. And in fact, in polls today, the difference between if you would ask people who say they're Christian would be far greater than on the poll to say, I radically live for Jesus. But what Jesus called us to be is his disciples, to be fully devoted followers of him. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be called Christians. Please don't go there. I'm just saying in light of what Scripture teaches and what even the world out there perceives us as. So let's go on, like, with this self-help. So people do say that they want nothing to do with religion, correct? Would you say that they want nothing to do with religion? But yet, I would argue that we are more religious than we have ever been in our society. And what church looks like today is a yoga studio. what worship looks like is Super Soul Sundays with Oprah. What a pastor looks like is a therapist. What community looks like is a gym membership or a running club. What silence and solitude looks like is mindfulness. What a Bible study looks like out there is a book club. Okay? So they're being more religious than what we think, right? So we have this gap for us as Christians too, or followers of Jesus, where we are to become like Jesus, right? So when someone's looking at our lives, do they see Jesus, right? They need to. But how much do you look like Jesus? Let's be honest. There's a gap. We're getting stuck in a gap here, right? That we get stuck in sin sometimes. We get stuck in patterns and addictions and things that plague even Christians. Okay, so how do we, as the people of God, as followers of Jesus, close that gap? And that's what I want to share with you today, is how we really change. That sin does not have dominion in our life. We do walk in that freedom and that abundant life, John 10:10, that Jesus said we would have, right? So, first things here, in our goal of being transformed into the image of Christ. That's God's goal for us, that we would be transformed into the image of Christ. And in Corinthians, it says that the more we behold him, so the more we be with Jesus, the more we will become like him. The more we behold him, that we are changed into his image and likeness. So these are our goals, is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do those things that Jesus did. In Mark 1:14, it says this. When Jesus came, he said, now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel is one of the first words Jesus in his public ministry said. Now, that word repent just means change your mind. Let me read you this definition. This is a quote from Dallas Willard. Repentance, to change one's way of life as a result of a complete change of thought and attitude with regard to sin and righteousness. To repent is to reimagine your life from the ground up around the kingdom of God. To redream your life around a whole new way to be human in God's power and presence. You know, Jesus' first sermon was the Sermon on the Mount. You can read it there in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus really came to teach us what it's like to be really human. You know, he taught us things like, said, but in that, you'll see, if you read those, he really raised the bar. Now, you have said not to commit adultery. Now I'm asking you, don't even lust in your heart. Said, don't murder. Now I'm asking you, don't even be angry with your brother. So he's raising the bar. Now, how in the world are we going to do that, right? Well, if we can just recap about spiritual formation before. Spiritual formation, there's two thoughts on that. One is unintentional and one is intentional. And spiritual formation, we can just say that word transformation, because we are called to be transformed into his image and likeness. Okay, so unintentional, if you're unintentional, it's like personal growth. Any personal growth or anything positive that's going to happen in you has to be intentional. Would you agree? Okay, it doesn't just happen. You have to intentionally do it. So we're all being transformed, though, into something. We're all becoming something. Amen. Unintentional, just do nothing. and the things in this world, the stories they tell you, you'll believe. And you'll develop habits, and you don't even have to think about it. You'll just do them. And the relationships you keep and your environment. And that's what you will be a product of. Success coaches will tell you, you are the product of the five people you spend the most time with. That is why it's so essential for us to be spending time with Jesus. So we can become like him. Amen. So, all right. So that's unintentional. You have to do nothing. But to counter that, to be intentional, instead of the stories out there that we're believing, and there's a lot of good stories out there. But those stories are usually just partly true. Because they leave out the one that is the truth. Amen. So to counter those stories that we believe, we need teaching. And that's what we shared in August. Like, we are made, we're formed, we are for teaching. Okay? And to counter those habits, we need practice. And to counter those relationships, we really need community. And the environment that we need to live in is the presence of God, which is Holy Spirit. And it's that formation, that intentional spiritual formation, is how we begin to be transformed by teaching, by practice, and by community. So let's just go into this a little bit. Okay, so teaching. These are thoughts that get into your head, right? Another word for transformation in the Bible is metamorphosis. Anybody ever hear that word? Metamorphosis. Okay. And that's what being transformed. It's like where the caterpillar goes through stages of life to become a butterfly. So this is when the Bible is talking about be transformed in the renewing of your mind. It's like as your thinking begins to change, you will begin to change. But a thought is not enough. Thinking is just the beginning point. All right. And Paul was really big on this, because listen to what in Romans he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. There is some powerful teaching out there by a woman called Dr. Caroline Leaf. All right? And she's a Christian. She's a neuroscientist. And she pretty much now has devoted her entire practice to traveling and teaching. And so there is something called neuroplasticity. Anybody ever hear of it? If you've listened to her, you may. Okay. And so what it basically is saying is neurons, thoughts that fire together, wire together. Thoughts that fire together, wire together. And in your brain, there's actually, if you think a thought, you are more likely to think that thought again. So there's pathways that form through your brain. And so if you want to use this analogy, think of your brain as a jungle and a thought as a machete. Okay, so that one thought is a hack through the jungle. But if you do it again, there's another. And the more you think that thought, the clearer that pathway is. Amen. Until you don't even have to think it. You just do it. And that's why to make spaghetti, you just go ahead and do it without thinking, because you make it every week. But if you're going to create a new meal, you need that recipe card. Okay? So there's good and there's bad. It's good. It helps me remember my husband's name. He doesn't have to wear a name tag. I know who he is, right? I remember that. So that's really good. But the bad thing about these pathways, neuroplasticity, is that you can create bad habits, addictions, and this. Now, the good thing about all this, though, if you look up neuroplasticity, which is also known as brain plasticity or neuroplasticity, it is the ability of the brain to change throughout an individual's life. So you can change the way you think. You can actually rewire your brain. Okay, but it takes a lot of repetition. Oh. So, but again, knowing something in your head is not the same as doing something with your body and wanting something in your heart. Because if you remember, I shared with you, if we just had to get it here in our head, then I could read a book on having a wonderful marriage, and my marriage would be wonderful, right? Amen. I could read a book. No, we have to practice at making our marriage wonderful. Okay? It does. It works that way. You have to practice that. All right? Okay. If it was just a thought in your head, you could read that, how to lose 15 pounds in 3 weeks, right? And it would be done. But that's not. You have to do something in your body to make this. All right. So the same way with the scripture, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not enough just to know it. You have to do something about it. And it is practicing Jesus' teaching. So let me read you a scripture here. Just like the mind is the portal, you definitely need to get these ideas in your head. Okay. All right. And then they drop down. But this is Matthew 7:24 through 26. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and great was its fall. Storms come to us all, whether you're foolish or you're wise. And the difference between the foolish and the wise is one was building their life upon the rock. Amen. He was like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Now, let me tell you. In the Old Testament, do you know how many times, just in the book of Psalms, it says, the Lord is the rock of my salvation. When he was talking and preaching this, every one of them were familiar with the Old Testament. 29 times in the book of Psalms, the rock refers to our Lord, our God. So it's building your life upon the rock. It's building your life in relationship with Christ. It's practicing his sayings. All right? The other thought I remember we talked about was, and this comes from this book. I know I like this book a lot. And I showed this in August. Is a quote from Richard J. Foster. Says, most people believe they change by trying really hard, but that's not true. You change by practice, the same way you would train for a marathon or a 5K or anything. You just don't wake up, right? It's not one day a month going to the gym or once a week that's going to get you anywhere. Okay, the same way with our Bible reading, our devotion, our prayer life, our worship. You know, Jesus went to synagogue every Sabbath. It was his custom. That is one of the practices, is being in a Sunday service. Amen. Not once a month. Okay. Anyway, maybe I stepped on. But you will, if you want Christianity to work, you yield yourself over to what Jesus is teaching this. And I know we live in a busy, busy world. And this is the one I'm really working on really hard in my own life, of toning down the busyness. Jesus was never in a hurry. Amen. Even though Lazarus was there, how many days in the tomb, he wasn't in a hurry. Jesus was not in a hurry. Now, how many of us could say that about our own lives? Right? One theologian said, or a psychologist it was, forgive me, but he said, hurry. Somebody said, hurry's of the devil. He said, no, hurry is the devil. Okay, so I am learning to slow down. Practice the presence. Breathe. Peace. Amen? And it is something I'm practicing. Dr. Lawrence wrote a book about practicing the presence of God. If we can even just begin there, of every setting your iPhone, the timer goes off every 10 minutes, to bring yourself back, to acknowledging his presence. Try that one practice and see the change that comes in your life. Just acknowledging his presence, bringing your thoughts back to that. So, the things we do are so important because the things we do do something to us. If you read your Bible, the more you'll want to read your Bible. If you watch Netflix, the more you're going to want to watch it, right? If you eat sweets, the more you want to eat sweets, okay? So what you do does something to you. And the scriptures tell us, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. James says, be a doer and not a hearer only. And this you'll be blessed, and you'll avoid being deceived. 1 John 3:7 says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So teaching in our head, these thoughts in our head, have to lead to practice. And my one professor said, that's where the money is. Teaching's got to lead to practice. Because I found out by one of my close associates, they could not remember what I preached in August. We don't remember at all. We don't know. I'm just kidding. Because I'm teasing her. But she doesn't. Probably none of you could remember either. We don't retain it. There's like a sippage that goes on in our brain. In fact, as soon as you have a great idea, they say, as soon as you think it, ink it. Because that thought, that God-inspired idea that you've been praying for, if you don't capture it within 2 minutes, you may never think it again. Okay, so as soon as you think it, ink it. So we have to hear these stories over and over. In fact, now what we do, what research, scientific research actually reveals, though, is habits and practices get into you, actually not through your head, but through your heart, amen, not your mind. And this is where the Bible tells us to guard our heart. Proverbs 4:23, with all diligence, because out of it comes the issues of life. You're doing stuff, it's because that's where your love is. Amen. That's where our heart is. I want to lose that 5 pounds, but I really love chocolate chip cookies. Okay? So, let me have one. No, maybe I'll have two. Yeah. So it's not going on up here. It's what I'm desirous of. It's what I'm craving. So where your heart is, and what's so great about this is Psalms 91:14 says this, love is a choice. Listen to this scripture. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. You can literally set your love upon something. You can make a decision to set your love on something out. Some of the practices are like worship, prayer, Bible. And you know another practice that Jesus did regularly? It's like what Pastor John preached last week. Take a praise break. Jesus practiced giving thanks. And if you look through all some of the scriptures Pastor John shared, but many, giving thanks. It's make it a practice. Gratitude. have an attitude of gratitude. And people who are grateful attract more things into their life to be grateful for. I have read that Tony Robbins, the highest paid motivational speaker in the world, practices giving thanks, writes down. Oprah Winfrey, part of her morning ritual, giving thanks, writing down, expressing gratitude. Because what you do does something in you. So that's maybe one practice that we could start off. I'm not asking you to do a million things. I'm asking you to begin with one thing or two things, but make it a part of your daily routine. We did a leadership, little teaching or something in our staff meeting, and we talked about that our success is completely linked to our daily routine, and that all successful people have a daily routine, and they usually pick five things that they do every single day, like get up and pray, read their Bible, review their goals and dreams, exercise, give thanks. It could be five. But your key to your success in your Christianity is doing something every day to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and begin to do the things that Jesus did. Somewhere in our Christian life, we have to do the wax on and wax off. Okay? That's how we change. Wax on, wax off. And if you do the wax on and the wax off, you're becoming a black belt Christian. Yes, you're becoming like Jesus. So, you know, change sometimes happens so gradual. But definitely if you are practicing the ways of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus on a daily way, you'll be able to look back at your life a year from today, or even 3 months from today, or even 1 month from today, if you consistently practice wax on, wax off. We all know Karate Kid. I don't know. Do you guys know? Did you ever watch the movie Karate Kid? Okay. All right. See, I know it's a 90s flick, but it was good. 80s. Oh, more like 80s. Okay. So if you haven't seen it, watch it, because it is a really cool movie. Okay. And I just want to close with this again. How we change is through practice, right? You start here, but somehow you have to get it here, where you are loving, choosing to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And the way we are doing that here to serve our body is through Sunday services, making it a practice. Small group communities, being with other Christians, community. Jesus was always in community. I encouraged all our small group leaders, even though we're taking a break, don't take a break from community. Invite somebody to be at your table. Invite someone over. Do fellowship at least once a week with other Christians. That's where you find freedom. It's being in authentic relationship with other believers who you can take your mask off and say, yeah, I'm having a problem. I got this addiction. I got this sin, and I can't shake it. Confessing your sins one to another is part of the practice. And that's how you find freedom. And it's a safe place that you are in, community, where people will love you and pray for you, not condemn you, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, not one. Only Jesus was the one God. He was God, but he was fully human. Fully human. And in all points, he was tempted just like we are, but yet without sin. We have our growth track going on. Just like I encouraged in Jews, put one thing into practice, the growth track will help you take your next step in your Christian life of discovering your purpose. And ultimately, we want to do the things that Jesus did. And Jesus made a difference everywhere he went in people's lives. So we have the growth track to get you plugged in to start making a difference. Discover your gifts. Discover how you're wired. He made you so unique. You got gifts. You got callings in your life. And he wants you to use those just as Christ did to make a difference in other people's lives. Jesus was so awesome. Wasn't he just so awesome? Luke 15. It says he welcomed sinners and tax collectors, right? The Pharisees were grumbling. He welcomed sinners and tax collectors. And you know what? That's what we're about now. Our church isn't so much for us who've been walking with Jesus. It's for those who are yet to come. Right? And that's what we're doing also. Is wanting to create an atmosphere that all of us in a culture where we're loving God, loving people, choosing joy, and pursuing excellence, doing all things well, because we're doing the practices. And when people walk in here, they feel the welcome. Just think of that. Tax collectors. Do you know who they were? Tax collectors were Jewish people, brothers, but were so serving the Roman government. So they were taking money from their own people to play Rome. And usually a little extra for themselves. But these people felt comfortable to come and hear Jesus teaching. We want people to feel comfortable in our presence. I'm not going to judge them with their sin, but love and embrace them with Jesus. Amen.